March 8th, 2024.
Thank you. I got one.
Permission to meet it to.
I changed the verses. Change verses in front of
All right. Public forum. Call to order. So anyone wishing to speak at the public forum can step up to the podium. This is your opportunity to speak for 10 minutes on any matter. After the public forum has ended, only those representing matters of public business or recognized by a member of the council will be allowed to speak.
Well, I guess I'm here to speak.
All right, you got 10 minutes.
I'm on the clock. All right. I understand from Brent that this is not typical. I'm his first. So, thank you for allowing me to come up and speak. I'll try to be brief. Some of you know me, and that's probably not actually typical of me. So, just a little introduction. I'm Eric Covington. I'm one of the natives of Rogers. I was born in 1971 at Mercy Hospital. So, seen a lot of changes. Been a part of a lot of changes. My mom and dad owned Deco Contractors in Rogers from, gosh, I think 1970 until about 2020. So we sold the business and kind of allowed them to enjoy their retirement and allowed me to move on and do some other things. One of those being purchasing a piece of property next door to me, to my house. And I think I made that purchase in around 2022, January. Made a few phone calls to make sure that the sewer was indeed where I thought it was, which was on the west side of the property, and took it upon myself to take some elevations. Found the lift station that it was draining to, and made a few more phone calls to make sure that if there were any changes that need to be done, that it would typically just be to that lift station, and it's not. And to my surprise, that was pretty much the case. It appeared like it would be capable of serving approximately 90 lots of the subdivision that we do, which is about a 30-acre piece in Rogers. So I think the case was possibly might have to make some changes to the pumps. So and on August 3rd of 23, engineering staff that we hired, half and associates, got together and decided maybe need to upgrade the lift station. I believe we had a meeting with the city of Rogers about that, and that was the only comment made. I think Steve Ponder was at that meeting, and there were some issues with maybe. The force main might have been on our property, may not have been, but we got that worked out later. So on August 17th, I notified half and associates to go forward with the lift station evaluation. On August 24th of 2023, we had a meeting with Rogers Water and Sewer regarding a subdivision that we were going to do called Crossover Trail, and then as well a subdivision that I think had a preliminary plat approval in 2018, a subdivision called Roselawn owned by Aaron Nickel was also brought up because we both will flow into that same lift station. And coincidentally, we both were approached by the same home builder to buy both pieces of property once they were developed. So we've kind of been married together at this point. So I'm here to speak on behalf of Roselawn Subdivision as well as Crossover Trail. At that point, on October 24th, we met with Brian Sartain, Stephen Ponder, and at that point it was brought up that there might be a issue with sewer somewhere around Veterans Park downstream, which was news to myself and Aaron Nickel, and I believe it was probably a surprise to Rogers Water Utilities as well. So the conversation began talking about surcharges. I believe the conversation led to primarily a five-year flood surcharge in the line running from the east side of Veterans Park through the west side of First Street over to the railroad, somewhere in that area over towards the neighborhood market. November 14th, 2023, we had an email notification from Brian Sartain stating no immediate path was allowed forward for the two subdivisions due to the issues of the downstream surcharge. At that point, we kind of held up on our end on moving forward with Half and Associates until possibly some issues could be determined, I guess, what might be done going forward. Because Brian and Stephen had no idea going forward how to, I guess, pay for the issues of the surcharge. We were told 3 to 4 years is what it would take to do the repairs to bring the line up to the capacity it needed to handle these two subdivisions. From the standpoint of a developer, that's just not something we wanted to hear, 3 to 4 years. I understand there's a problem. We all deal with problems every day, but just a 3 to 4 year answer to was not a solution that I was willing to just kind of sit back and take. We have a substantial amount of money we paid for the property. Everybody knows what property values are now. And this was a large piece with the last sewer on the east side of Rogers. So anyway, we exchanged. There were some emails exchanged back and forth. And I will say Brian and Stephen both, I think they did a lot of their due diligence and really tried hard to come up with a solution. And I think what it kind of boils down to is this is going to have to be done with the long-range plan, which is the reason the 3 to 4 years came up. Financially, I don't think Rogers Water knew that this was coming. I understand there was a report, a model done in August that showed some issues within the water or the sewer line, but probably not to the extent where there would be a moratorium on the east side of town. And I believe that's where we're at, is a moratorium, because we've been told that it's 3 or 4 years before we can go forward with our subdivisions. And I'm just here today, you know, I've got dates that recap Brian's effort and Stephen's effort to try to visit with Rogers or visit with the Arkansas Department of Health and try to get them to give a solution of what might happen and or what could be done. So I do think they've done all they can do on their end. So I'm kind of here, I guess, just to ask for the commission's help, whether that be some emergency funding. There's some emails that have floated around that even in dry weather, the model indicates that there's a surcharge in the Veterans Park area. To me, that is a large cause for concern. In wet weather, obviously, if there's surcharge in dry weather, there's obviously going to be wet weather surcharge. So I don't know if there's a emergency fund, if there's somewhere in the capital improvements that money can be moved, but my understanding is anything east of the railroad tracks, basically east of the neighborhood market, there will not be any more. And I'm talking about the neighborhood market on New Hope and Walnut. There cannot be any more sewer dumped into that area until these surcharges are addressed. So for both myself and Aaron Nickel Holmes, we're kind of at a standstill with our projects. The builder that would like to invest in Rogers was at a couple of these meetings, and they were willing to help within reason financially. So I think we all are interested in moving forward with our projects. We just need Brian and Stephen to have some help along the way, I think, to help push this through. Because I do appreciate their help. And Johnny was in on one of those meetings, and Johnny Lunsford, and he was very helpful as well. So I think everybody within the utility department has done all they can. And I want to emphasize that. I'm not here to make any enemies. I've been in Northwest Arkansas for almost 53 years in Rogers, and you don't stay in one place that long without making a few enemies, but having a lot more friends. So I want to maintain that friendship and those relationships we've built through the years. Just appreciate your time, and thank you for what y'all do.
Can I ask you?
Sure.
What was the date that you first started trying to get this done?
August 3rd is when we met with the city on the concept.
Of 23 or 22?
23.
Okay. All right.
And then August 24th of 2023 was our first meeting with Stephen and Brian.
Okay.
Did I stay under my 10 minutes?
You were a hero. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Okay. We don't get to talk about the east side.
Do we want to have some discussion, or do we want to move on?
I want to say that at one point about a year and a half ago, didn't we discuss that we weren't going to do any more building on the east side because of this very problem?
I'll just state this. The definition of surcharge was changed. Number one, we were ignorant of the problem. We ran the master study. It showed that in the model we do have a problem. The surcharge, I'd like to define that. The surcharge means full pipe. Doesn't mean it's coming out of the top of the manhole. Surcharge means it's full pipe. And Bill's doing the same thing as well.
I didn't even know the definition, so I'm glad you...
Yeah, it's not that it's overflowing. That'd be a sanitary sewer overflowing. Obviously, we've taken care of that. But the surcharge, that's now the definition of the Department of Health. And even if we said on record, even if we allowed this, the Department of Health would not, because we've got a place that we need to repair for capacity. We have started it as soon as we found that out. We got our master plan in 2022 or something like that. We've already got several projects out. Mm-hmm. The Pinnacle Hills, the golf course expansion, Blossom Way, we've got two of those under design right now, and it's not just a little money. But we're working our way back from the plant that serves the largest population. And eventually, the 3 to 4 years that you talked about, we will get there.
I was just going to say this. I mean, so the public forum, Mr. Covington had an opportunity. He has an issue, has a concern. And the public forum is just that. It allows him the opportunity to basically share that. What I would say from my position, Brent, you've heard, you've got two of your people, obviously, that have been directly involved, maybe a third of Johnny, is what I would direct is, you all, there's an issue that's been raised, you all know what needs to be done, is basically to deal with it if you need me as a commissioner, or us as a commission, bring it back to us, but as far as trying to resolve that, Kathy, not to cut you off, but I mean, he had the public forum was designed to allow him to share his concern. He has done so. It doesn't require us to do anything at this point other than it's an issue that obviously he has spent a lot of time and energy on. You've got a couple of developers. I'd ask that you all do what you do, and then if there's a recommendation or something that needs to come back to us, do that. Otherwise, he's like a lot of the developers, it's just something he's going to have to figure out how to deal with. So.
What just curious, it's pretty typical of developers to have to upgrade downstream. How far are we talking?
That far away.
That's what I figured when he came in. I know here. So it's a long way.
So you're saying we've started closest to the plant, and we're moving our way this way, and that's what's going to take the 3 to 4 years.
It's part of the master plan.
But when he bought this property, was he told that the sewer was okay?
It's kind of a due diligence thing in my mind.
Not to go into the weeds, but when they first proposed this, it was 2020, with an expiration date in November of 21.
Okay.
They did anything on one of those projects. And unbeknownst to them or us, when we ran that master plan, which is very helpful, right? We didn't know we had a problem because we didn't have anything coming out of manhole leaks. But we do have a surcharge full pipe condition. And we went back, engineering went back with monitors and equipment to calibrate and make sure, ratify that model, and it was correct. So there's baseline. Until we can get more capacity out there, there's more working capacity. We can't just do one line for one developer. I don't know where it can stop. So our point is then to go where it affects the most, quickest.
I just ask you to evaluate it.
This sounds...
It's an unfortunate position to be in.
And this sounds, I don't want to say bad, but can they meet y'all in the middle? Like start working upsizing downstream?
It's 4.2 miles.
That's a long way.
Yeah, it's
under. And what, so is it a 12 right now or an 18? What is it?
It's a 24 and 12.
Okay. All right, good to know.
There's not an isolated bottleneck fix. This is...
Yeah, all the way down.
So I think the other question that as time goes on in the next 3 to 4 years, this isn't going to be the only one that pops up. Mm-mm. Out there, as well as I'm just curious on is this officially being considered a case by case? I mean, what goes to the state to bless?
At the last commission meeting, you approved that resolution directing us to come up with that policy. You know, if you have a house remodeled, mm-hmm. does that count? Mm-hmm. If a duplex is put in, obviously large scale would have issues, but we're working on that now as we speak.
Yep.
To come up with that and present to you.
I think the goal being over 3 to 4 years, we're going to start having a lot of Eric Covingtons up here.
there's other places that want to lie down.
We've already had two meetings last week with developers.
Somebody's kind of cost sharing where, like, they can, I hate to say, put their money in a pot to where they can expedite any of this. I know.
They're not going to have that kind of money.
We've looked at some other states, cities that have grown like this, like New York. Johnny's actually put together a big forum down at the Hot Springs show. It's already outgrown one room for this exact thing. And we're bringing in some people from Texas, some other states that have dealt with this before. If you look at Plano, you know, financial gain is not one of their drivers. It's what's best for the public. But those are things that we're going to have to figure out as we go through here, and it's been done before. And it kind of needs to be the same up and down as corridor as well. We're not the only ones that were affected by this definition of surcharge. Bill told me that the other day. Same thing. And we always, even Brian, our engineering bunch, we can back up into the manhole. It's not a problem, but the new definition down there is you cannot. So our model where it shows full pipe and where we've actually seen that with instruments, to validate the model, we can no longer put capacity, so we're rushing to come up with something that's as fair as possible. You know, we do facilities extension contracts on water. You know, I'm sure that same thing would apply to sewer. We'll come up with something, but yes, there is.
So the same thing's going to have to be done all the way down there that's being done out at Pinnacle, basically. Yeah. Oh, geez.
And I mean, this is, like you said, it's a problem common to many other cities. My sister lives outside of Frisco, and it used to be cornfields. And it, I mean, every time I go Went for the baseball game 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and it's the speed at which it grows is comparable to here. So it's we can find precedents other places.
It's an anomaly that they had something that was approved because we didn't know we had capacity issues. Again, it wasn't coming out of the panel. And then they did not move, and then they came back, and we changed the goalpost, or the health department did.
Yeah.
Is it fair? Is it right? It just is, and we're going to do the very best we can to make it fair and equitable.
One comment would be, obviously the city has a part to play in this as well. Your planning, community development, they need to be involved. They have to see the table. Because everything, I mean, I know that there are letters that we evaluated as well at this point, but there's also things that are going through, they're getting approved, higher densities. So they have to be at the table, and there has to be basically a working relationship because, you know, those have to go through planning commission, they have to be approved, and again, then the developer takes a period of time before it actually moves forward. So everything we've talked about has to start at the city. At the city level, because they have to be involved.
So
that's a really good point.
They have
planning, community development.
So they have not gone to planning or to city council yet to get this approved, or has been?
It was approved and then their year expired.
I think they
expired in 2021.
They had both actions from city council.
Long arms.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I feel for them. We didn't want that either.
Are you making everything that comes through currently do a sewer study? I know that Brian has
the health department's almost requiring all of ours now, aren't they?
Yeah. And Brian's having had that thing where it throws them into y'all's model, which is great. Okay. Good point though on bringing making sure the cities have the up to speed with that, because that's a big component of it. So that's my desk in my 9 to 5. So it really is just make sure y'all communicated that really well with them so they know it's important. So anybody else? Alright, so we are going to move on to the minutes from February 2024. So we need action on the minutes.
Make a motion that we approve the minutes as submitted for February 20th, 2024, for the Rogers Water Works and Sewer Commission.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The ayes carry 5-0. And we'll move on to the report. Here's the eye.
I didn't bring that many.
Did you bring that many?
No. I got that 250 pages. It's like there's a few pages I want.
I just want to make sure that
I don't need to see all the bank information.
If you want to dig, you can dig. It's there.
Some's in the letter, some's in there.
All right. This is our financial report for the month of February. Bill, revenue and consumption for water and sewer is the first thing on our memo there. You can see bill revenue for water is at $1.2 million the month of February. That's 7.1% over February of the prior year, and consumption is up 2%. On the sewer side, bill revenue is up $1.4 million for a 4.4% year-over-year change, and consumption up 0.4%. Budget to actuals, February is about 67% of the way through the fiscal year. So relative to that benchmark then, you can see that Revenues are tracking over budget. Expenses are tracking under budget. On the water side, revenues are at 72% of budget. Expenses at 62%. On the sewer side, revenues are at 88%. Or without that one-time ARPA grant revenue of $2.47 million, we're at 74% still on sewer revenues and 60% for sewer expenses. Year-to-date income on an accrual basis, we'll take a look at, I guess, the next table here for a little bit of reference. For water, you can see year-to-date we're at $4.1 million. Relative to last year, that's an increase of $326,000. And it's also higher than our budgeted income of $3.74 million. And on sewer, we're at $7.1 million. Without the ARPA grant, we're at $4.6 million year-to-date income. That's over last year's income through February by $1.2 million. And then compared to our annual budget, it's also over the annual budget set at $3.3 million expected income in the sewer department. We've given you a chart here for access and impact fee revenues, kind of our proxy for construction activity, as well as a little bit of history here. So when you look at this chart, know that years 19 through 23 are complete fiscal years, while the FY24 data shown there is revenues through the month of February. So you can see at a glance here that business was booming in FY21, and we've kind of come down from that peak since then. And at $1.4 million year to date, we still have 4 months to go or so in the current fiscal year. And then finally, some other financial reporting items for the month of February. On a cash basis, our restricted and unrestricted assets are at $48.07 million. That's up from $37.22 at this time last year. And then in terms of just some things we've been working on in the finance office, we solicited bids for new depositories to be added to our bid list for CDERS investments, and we'll talk more about that later on in tonight's meeting. Finance sat down with engineering and reviewed our construction in progress accounts to kind of get an update on what's been completed and what's still in the works, and we will do some fixed asset maintenance on that eventually, but got to know where our projects are first. So we got that done, and then we'll work to kind of clean up our fixed asset records too. We've got a rate study that's underway. We're working with a consultant, and they've requested a whole lot of data, so we started pulling that for them and gave them enough to get started anyway. We'll continue to pull what they need and hopefully have some good information to work with and collaborate with them on. And then finally, I just note here that we paid our annual renewal notice for the Arkansas Municipal League Municipal Vehicle Program. We use that for vehicle insurance. $21,000, basically no change from the prior year. And I just note that their rate is the lowest one that they use in calculating those premiums based on our excellent claims history with them. That's our report for the month of February.
Looks good.
All right.
What is that? What's happening?
Give it, hit it. Now I'm supposed to
just. You broke it.
I didn't touch it.
You have to buy it. We need all the money. What is it?
That's good.
Oh,
that's
good. Thank you. Yours has a cord in it, doesn't it?
No. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good evening. As you can tell, I am not Brian Sartain. He asked me to fill in for him today.
Is he on spring break?
He is on spring
break.
And
he plays fun?
Yeah, he decided to go out of the country for a little bit. So nice. We'll see if he makes it back without drinking the water in Mexico this time. There was a slight error last year when he went.
It's a slight error. Ironic, isn't it?
we won't go into details, but I think he took an extra couple days off after he got back in the country.
Not everybody has as good water as part of you.
There you go.
That's right.
There you go.
All right. As far as city works, this is actually my city work screen instead of Brian's, but it is the same kind of setup here. So we had about 100, there was the precise number, 129 reviews last month. You can kind of see the map we've got going. I don't know if anybody, we haven't gone into too much on CityWorks, but it is a pretty nice little program here. You can kind of click on each of these and see a little bit more details about what this is. And then if you want to go to the actual case, you can click on it and it'll take you right over to all the pertinent information. If this computer was set up, you could actually click on this button and it would open the plans. This was just a lot line adjustment or easement reduction, I believe is what this one was. But it's got kind of all the information about the different cases. It's pretty easy just to jump to. So we've got quite a few little inboxes here that we've run through. Some of them are fancier. The meter readers are pulling quite a bit from our Tyler. They just ended for the day, so it's kind of closed down a little bit. But some of these dashboards get pretty fancy if we want them to. And if y'all don't mind, I would like to show a little bit of some of the updates we've done for our mapping. I know that y'all may have gotten some access to some of our maps, but these are quite nice. This is the one that I typically use, but like our locators, they have a separate map for them that shows where our utilities are, but we also have hatched areas for where construction is, so that way they know to coordinate with on-site and with engineering to see if there's been water lines that have been changed over that we haven't taken ownership of yet, but may still be in the way for bores and things like that. And then we've got our water operators. We've done some niceties here. For future things, you can see we've got some valves, and the nice thing, as we're working, we can actually switch these valves from open, if I can click on the button there, to closed, and now it changes, and it's very noticeable that we have a closed valve in the system. So before I get in trouble, put that one back open so that nobody thinks that there's a closed valve out there. And then some other nice ads we've done. We've got a nice little heat map for water line breaks, all of our issues that we've had, which looks worse than what it is when you're zoomed out pretty good because they start to conglom together. You can see it's a pretty little helpful tool, and noting out for our nice loss rate, you can see the field staff has been adding in quite a few leak loggers across the system.
Wow.
So they've done, I believe the last update was 1,275 leak loggers are out there on water meters checking for leaks 24/7 for us.
That's a question. So City of Bentonville pays $5 per if an employee reports a leak. Just curious. Do y'all have anything like that?
Just curious.
Throwing that out there.
It's hard to pay a leak monitor.
That shows us in real time. So if there's a leak out there, does it pick it up someplace, or do you have to pay someone $5 to see the water?
So these leak loggers are on the meters, and when they do the meter reads every month, then it pulls data from the leak loggers. And of course, if we want to intermediately, we can go out and do a run on the leak loggers.
But it's not a real time. If you had a leak out there, it doesn't alert someone that you've got a leak. It's something we have to manually. At correct. Some point, we find
yes.
out.
30 days.
Every time we read the meter,
like we called you and said, hey, by the way, there's a leak out there, and if it's substantial enough, someone's calling, you're going to know it much quicker.
Yes, sir.
Those are pretty substantial leaks otherwise, but there's not a system in place that when you would pull this up and says, oh, we've got a leak here. Okay. Thank you.
We could go read it. We thought about that.
Right.
We had an issue out by the lake, and we just could not find what was going on, which can happen. We could run a route real quick and upload it and find out then. We haven't had to do that.
Is there a day and time or with technology that something like that would happen, that you would have the ability to say, we can pull it up in the morning, sign on, and you can tell immediately?
There's technology for that. It's not economic.
I just wondered if it's somewhere in our future that you'd say, wow, here's...
There is technology at someone calling and saying, hey, you got a leak.
We have to switch to
shut your order off.
Our FCS, our program will run out in 4 years.
I just think, guys, it's just
close to that.
Are you all looking at any type of thermal or anything like that for?
We've looked at satellite and some other things.
Yeah, yeah. I think
you've got a test in right now on the large diameter.
Yeah, yeah, we've got a test running on our large diameter now where we've not been able to test our big lines coming from Beaver, and now we got tests running on those. We got a pilot running on those, so we can monitor those for leaks too now. So
I'm telling you, the $5 system works wonders.
Are you pleased with the city works? I mean, I know this is not a time on City Works, but I mean, obviously, the more information you put in there, the better it becomes.
Right.
This is incredible. Some of the dashboards really nice.
So the main breaks are coming from City Works, and the leak loggers are something separate. Sorry. So they're not tied in with City Works at all.
Are you enjoying City Works?
It's been pretty good. We've enjoyed the efficiency that it's gained us in engineering for plan review.
Okay.
We don't have to write approval letters anymore. Yeah. We just go through the system. So that saved a lot of time. And then, of course, coordinating with the city so that we're looking at the plans at the same time. We don't have to hound the engineers to get a set of plans back to us and the city. Sometimes that gets missed.
Yeah.
So it has helped out quite a bit.
We talked about this a lot in-house. What we're doing now is just setting the stage. I mean, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, these people are going to have heat maps to show them every break that they're out and or lines.
Yes.
That data will be much more accurate over time. We were just starting it now.
It's really cool. I applaud y'all for what y'all have already done into it. I mean, you can tell that you put a lot of work into it.
It's that was good work.
So, this is RWU, but does the city of Rogers have access to the same information? So if you're looking at this, someone in community development, are they looking at the same information or no different?
Yes,
we have all the same information.
Yeah.
This is the GIS, which is our GIS.
Okay.
We've given some of the city departments, they can reference this information, but it's separate from.
They can't close valves.
But it's proprietary just for RWU. It's not, if I go to GIS, this is not information.
This is not available to public.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need a special login to see all this information. And
I got the fire departments, but I can't do anything in the fire department.
Well, you know, just
see what they're doing in there.
Mm-hmm. We as a general public, you go to GIS and you'll see some of those. You can see some of the lines, sewer lines, water lines.
Right.
It's just not, the depth is not there.
Correct.
And then you see some of the information from the city side. I just didn't know in that communication back and forth, as I said earlier, you know, community development can do certain things, but y'all can, you can share what you want to share.
Yes, sir.
And they can share access, like Bentonville Water Sewer has shared their access, so I can close valves on Bentonville's, which is probably a bad thing. They gave me that access. But yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, we've got some. All right, project status stuff. So we did get bids that came in, but for the most part, everything's pretty steady moving forward. Our Pinnacle Sewer job is actually looking like they're going to get everything done on time. They've got one little section here that they should be, I believe Brent said that they, the middle of the week, so Wednesday, they'd be able to have their boring equipment out there and start that bore. But there is not much left as far as installation of pipe remaining, so we do believe they'll be able to, it appears, they'll be able to make their deadline, and then it's just some cleanup. We got a picture here of some of that open cut that they had to do unexpectedly due to the surprise duct line, and then some of the cleanup process that's going on out there.
Nice work.
Who's responsible for the cleanup? Do we clean it to a point, and then there's a contractor that has to go back as far as putting back down whatever type of grass? And
yes, sir.
They're doing really good work in these photos.
We had the golf course say some contractors that they were happy with to do that restoration work once we went through there. So they are approved by the Pinnacle Golf Course. Some significant events. So like I said, we did have a few projects bid out. The Walnut Street widening did come in. It came in a little higher than what RDOT expected. The low bid was the $45.6 million for the entire project. RDOT has decided to reject that bid. So there's some reevaluation going on. We'll see what becomes of that.
Do you know what they were looking for? What was their dollar? I was curious. Are they close? Or are we millions of dollars off? Because this thing's been going on for a long time.
This is significant.
We did this thing a couple of times, and I just wondered if it's just mad ever happened.
In my opinion, this was probably a pretty decent price for everything that was going on. What I was told, the number RDOT had was closer to about $25 million. I don't know how old that number was.
Significant.
I suspect it was a little out of date.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to do something at some point. I mean, the road is not going to hold up for another 2-year mid-cycle or 10-year mid-cycle. Yeah. Okay, 25 to 45.
We had the 28th place and the Pleasant Grove roundabout at 28th bid out. However, this was done in two parts because of RDOT funds. The engineer on the job put out an addendum the day before bids were due, so nobody bid on the part that had water and sewer in it. So they're going to put that one back out to bid. Somebody did bid and had a good price on the other half, but there was no water and sewer on that. So we will be back when they rebid that project out.
Who's the engineer?
Who was? I think that was CEI.
Okay.
And then the Hudson Pedestrian, that one came out. The total price was only $20,000 with $5,000 in contingency. It does say that they're kind of coordinating, but I've seen some email traffic that the bidder was confident in their pricing and good to do the work. So I don't believe there'll be a problem moving forward, but I don't want to speak for the city. I'll just say it appears. And then we've got the shutdown. The trial shutdown went well on our side, but it did appear that there was some issues on the Bentonville side and maintaining those towers. And then we are open forum talking about the pressure or the sewer availability. We are coordinating with the city and making sure that our policy aligns with the new city code that is going through right now. Make sure that is properly aligned with the current and the new, to make sure there's not a gap when that change is happening. And then we had some staff members, apparently some Aaron Short guy, and our GIS technician, or actually analyst, Brandon, and then one of the field staff, David Ingram, do a presentation on City Works. Apparently they did great.
I saw them, they did.
If there's any
closing. Well, the two of them did that, Aaron Short. I don't think he was here.
He's sometimes.
Brandon got to carry his weight.
There was a lot of weight on those Brandon and David shoulders to carry me. But, yes, sir. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to go into some details.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Evening. Plant's operating well. We're starting to get our solids under control. At least we're making a dent in them.
So our numbers are actually starting to look pretty, even better than what they have been looking. The industrial pretreatment, Paul and Amber worked a little bit together on a lot of stuff. So a lot of times you'll see some crossover on their reports. But Kennametal put in some new equipment, and they did have a high copper loading. Anytime we have heavy metals show up in our as a violation, that's a concern to me, because that goes all the way through all of our process. We really can't treat for metals. And they're likely to be in our solids, and then we get a ding on our solids too. So this was a big concern for me, but I was happy to see they went back to normal levels after they got their stuff put back in. Fortunately, we don't have a large industrial component, so even if Kennametal's out, it doesn't affect us as a whole entirely, but it's still a concern. The Ozark Mountain poultry had a violation for oil and grease loading. That was avoidable. That was something that they honestly, if they would have took another sample, they wouldn't have had a violation. They just needed to average down a little bit and they would have been fine, but they chose, I think they have some new staff there that didn't really understand the intricacies of their permit. But either way, they were back in within the range of their
it's good they permit. Reported. I mean,
right.
That's right.
Right. There's a Fats, Oils, and Grease has been fairly busy here lately. Two new food trucks are getting approved, plus a review of one that's been in operation. We had an issue with a car wash that was cleaning out their grease trap and throwing it on the ground that we had to deal with. We had a backed up manhole there around the Roost Chris, as well as Old Chicago. So Amber was pretty busy this month, working with our field crew, getting things cleaned up and jetted out and getting businesses back into compliance. So the dryer actually has been running pretty well for winter time. We can't quite get the capacity through it that we can in the summertime, and it's just too low for us to catch up. So we worked really hard to try to get it to work out with Springdale for them to use some of their additional capacity to take our stuff. And our stuff just would not work in their dryer. It would blind over their belts and things like that. It's a concern for us because that's the same equipment that we're trying to install on our solids handling. We brought that up to our design team. They're putting that forward to our supplier at Hoover to discuss that. I haven't heard back on that yet. I'm sure that they'll address that. They've got a performance spec that they've got to meet. So it's more of a, we're trying to make our project go smooth, so we're relaying all the information that we can to them. It is concerning that Springdale struggled that way. There's a lot of things that they do in the design of this. They change, you know, pressure that they feed with. They change the extruder size that they use. They change airflow. They change washer designs. They do a lot of things. So ours, you know, in the details may be different enough that they're not concerned. But from us Rubes working together between Springdale and Rogers, we couldn't make ours work in there. So
are y'all trucking that over there?
We did.
Could that be part of it? Is actually trucking it over there and solidifying or anything like that?
It is a variable, but that Class B cake should be stable for really a couple of days, honestly. Okay. Springdale developed kind of a report on what they had seen. And we passed those along. They felt like there was two primary issues. One of them is our sludge age. Our sludge age is quite a bit older than theirs. They went so far as to say ours was septic, but ours is live in the system, so it can't really be septic, but it is a much, much darker color than what they have. The other half of that is we have a lot of variability in color, and according to them, odor, although we don't see a lot of variability in odor through our system. So I'm not, transportation could very well be a part of that.
Okay.
The other variability that was key, I would say, is our polymer that we use to put the solids together before we turn them into a cake. A centrifuge by nature just uses more polymer than a belt press. The exchange for that is we get quite a bit drier product. So we get 20 to 21% solids in our cake versus a belt press that does pretty good to get 17 to 18%. So they use less polymer, we get less water. So you would think that's a pretty even trade-off, but it is a difference. That was what we were looking at.
Are we continuing that moving forward to try it in their systems, or are we going to just wait and see?
They've shoveled enough solids that they were kind of done messing with us, I think, at that point.
No pun?
It was not a pun. It's very literal. They had to literally hand shovel out their dryer about three times over this and clean their belts. So I did not push my luck any further with our relationship with Springdale. We have a very good relationship with that group, and we have a lot of parts that interchange. And if they need stuff, we can help them. If we need stuff, they can help us. It just didn't work out well this time. We did continue to move forward with our solids handling project. We'll discuss that some later. We've hit some milestones there we need some feedback on. We also have been working on a capacity improvement project, looking at various technologies and discussing those that maybe none of us at the plant have seen before that our engineer thinks may be relevant for us to look at and compare. So we've been looking at current users of those projects that were, or those, excuse me, technologies that we're just not familiar with. We did treat 287 million gallons in February. Looking at our dry weather flow of 8.5 million gallons, that should have been about 246.5. That's 40.3 million gallons from INI. We only had 1 inch of rain and 6 events. Historical average for February is 2.24. That was a pretty dry month, pretty low close, especially for February. That concludes my report. If I have any questions from you guys, I'd be happy to listen.
I'd like to hear moving forward, how the dry feels. We're going to be able to operate with that. That's a big investment.
Huge investment.
And when we hear something, I will certainly relay that.
Please do.
Yes.
This is a report on our turnover, our retention for the utility. Goes back to 2015. Each column represents a year. It gives you the turnover percentage for that year, the total staff average for the year, total turnover by number, and then a breakdown by department. And then within that turnover number, any retirees that were included with the group. Starting in 2016, the trend we've been noticing was a mountain and a valley experience. 2016 was up, 2017 was down. Again, 2018 was up, and 2019 was down. It continued on. We've broken the trend this year. 2024 looks to be running parallel to last year. Based on history, it should have been up, and it's not. And we're grateful for that. But we continue to monitor our staffing, and if I can advance this slide, we've really tried to do some things over the last 4 or 5 years that we think have finally started to take hold. On our process for interviewing, we still post the job online.
We rely quite heavily on referrals from our staff. They're very gracious in recommending good candidates. And then rather than just waiting for people to come to us, we actively seek out and actually recruit candidates. We know they're looking. We'll put ourselves in front of them, offer them a chance for an interview. Our interview process has changed. That began with COVID, and we've continued it since then. The first interview is always online. It's just myself and the candidate. And then that is forwarded to the manager and the supervisor that have the opening. They'll review all the interviews, make a decision, who they'd like to visit with those candidates, if they feel they're qualified. And we'll bring them in for a second interview face-to-face, and in most cases, make a hiring decision. Our onboarding, our mentoring continues to improve each year. Our training is getting better. We're monitoring our wages. Fortunately, because we can piggyback on the city's benefits, they're very competitive. And then the job security is just something we stress with all of our candidates. And then not only is our job training evaluated, but our safety training has really improved. And we put that in front of the employees continuously. The results, our current employees, our new employees are seeing the culture that Brent has brought in. We're pushing and putting in front of everyone the fact that we want to be respectful, consistent, fair. We want to be accountable for our actions. The team building is being led by the managers and the supervisors, and they are providing that leadership, that transparency on expectations. And they're making sure the job training for their department and the safety training for their department is on track. And then it goes right in line with our benefits and wages. By that time, our people have seen that, yeah, this is competitive when it comes to a wage. They see the benefits and how affordable they are. And we do stress the pension plan, which is it's a phenomenal plan. So just seeing some good results in the field. And this is just throughout all of our departments, just a reflection of the managers and the supervisors and the time they're putting in with the people and the teams they're building. If you've got any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. Otherwise, that's my report.
Okay. I just add, if something's going wrong out there, it's addressed immediately. And I think in a good professional way, and the thing I've learned from Dan, it's up to them. There's no surprise. If someone's on the bubble, it's no surprise. They'll make sure, along with each of the managers, they're full aware of what needs to happen, what it needs to look like, and if you don't, what happens. And it is just worth commending for bringing in, reaching out, and finding those people that make a great team.
Thank you. Thank you. Good work.
And I can say, after speaking with my peers, we're all very impressed with what Dana does. He's phenomenal to have on your team. Overall, here's our ask. We're recommending the acceptance of the guaranteed maximum price proposed by Crossland Heavy Contractors and request authorization to execute an amendment to the CMAR contract in the amount of $24,522,472. Staff further requests permission to negotiate final form and content of this amendment. There's a pretty significant difference in what we came to you with on our initial stab at the proposal. This document here that gives you intricate detail of where all the differences are at. Then there's two one-page documents that takes the two primary that takes the two primary, goodness gracious, this is long. I should have looked at the page numbers.
We do have Judge Darren and Brett Peters from Hawkins, we're here as well.
We do.
Questions.
Yeah, I'm filling in for Brian. I'm doing a terrible job with that.
So we have these two documents here at the end that take our two primary areas of difference and kind of break down for those where they're at. I would just say, after we looked at our geotech report, our area of excavation got larger because we're building on top of some old infrastructure from a previous version of the plant that was there, as well as maybe some of the fill material that was there is not top notch. A lot of the other thing that we did was, when we saw the price was moving up, we changed. We moved from building an entirely new maintenance building up on the top, which would have required a lot of dirt work, a lot of new asphalt, tearing down an old structure and things like that. We moved to expanding and renovating our existing maintenance building. So those are the two primary driving things that were real big changes in that. I think a lot of the remainder of what you see is kind of the natural progression of what happens in a design. Whenever you have a contractor who looks at a design, prices it out, and says, okay, well, this, you know, we expect this, we expect that, And one of the examples would be, in the original concept, we did not show overhead trolleys for equipment removal over our sludge bins. We need those. They're elevated, so we can't really get good lifting equipment in there. So we have to have the access to be able to do that. So the contractor, we hadn't noted that as a design team until we started getting some more detail in and realized we couldn't get lifting equipment in there. And so we had to come up with that. So the contractor had no way to price that stuff in. So then you start seeing, okay, well, now we've got huge IVs, we've got trolleys, we've got all of this kind of stuff that comes in. The other large thing that happened was the code forced us into a large number of air exchanges per hour in a very large building. And so our ductwork got huge. We got some 36-inch HVAC ducts in there, nobody was expecting that level of HVAC work. But it has to do with sludge storage and an occupied building, as well as some of the dust and particulate requirements to keep that down in an enclosed space. And those were the primary driving changes from where we were to where we are. If you have a more specific question.
I would note that these are estimates.
Yes.
And this will all go out in bid packages that will be publicly open and are in-house with the CMOD. So we expect it. This is the guaranteed maximum. We expect this to go down. It's got a lot of contingency in there as well still.
These plans are not complete. So back to my original thing is, as the plans develop, a lot of times things come in that we don't have priced in. So there is some contingency in there. They put more contingency in some areas than others, and you can see where those contingencies are higher. We've tried to get further along on the more to reduce the contingency on the higher end items to get closer.
This thing still includes tax as well, right?
It includes sales tax.
So it should just go down. I'm always optimistic. It should go down. In our past experience with the same contractor on RPC, Trends 1 and 2, that's exactly what happens when you can bid it out. You're using budget numbers right now, and they're always
simple. That's quite an overhead door there. $500,000. It's jewel encrusted.
There's several of them.
I think there are seven extremely large overhead doors inside the facility.
This is the number that we need to complete the ARC process, the approval of this. GMP by the end of March to retain that 1.5%, close it in the next level. How long would that be just to close it? If we get this approved tonight. We're trying to close by the end of the month for the ARPA fund. That's the deadline there. We're trying to hit. So the closing may float within a few days of that date, but you know, we sent them the last required document. They need to prepare that bond ordinance, so we should be progressing right towards where we need to be.
This is the last item of this.
Yeah. Then we just have to complete it by 25, December 31st, 2025.
Is there an actual start date as well, though?
So what will happen is we'll issue a notice to proceed once this is ready to go, and then we'll turn around and put a stop notice on it until we start getting, or at least we've got a lot of long lead time items on there that would hold us up, and we would have an idle contractor paying overhead on for a lot of the times. So what we've done is delayed our true start time until that lines up where we compress our schedule to where we're utilizing the contractor on site in a reasonable way. Our real hold up or our driver on the schedule is a long lead time items. So once we actually have a executed contract, that'll allow us to go ahead and start ordering parts, and then we start the waiting game. But there is a schedule. There is a construction schedule in the crosswalk book.
I'd move approval for the guaranteed maximum price as recommended by staff. Proposal by Cross and Heavy Contractors, and also the authorization to execute an amendment to the CMAR contract in the amount of $24,522,475. And then also further to allow staff permission to negotiate the final form and content of the amendment.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. The ayes carry 5-0.
Well, we're
Next item is resolution number 2409. It's authorizing an agreement for temporary provision of utility services pertaining to the proposed boundary adjustment between the city of Rogers and the city of Cape Springs and for other purposes. If you're not familiar with this, I did leave a small drawing, a little map with some white outlines. The city is looking at annexing some property and de-annexing some other. The de-annexing would be on the west side of 112. Give that to Cape Springs, and that would make Cape Springs contiguous with that island that's now there. And in exchange, those other parcels on the lower right would be given from Cape Springs to Rogers. We're not really, you know, that's out of our jurisdiction. What this is just allows that, and you've heard this before, contingent on annexation, this gives a roadmap of how we will still service those properties and who's existing, who's already there. We will not increase capacity out there for water or sewer. That will be something Cape Springs will have to do if, again, all this happens. This gives us a way again to how we're going to deal if water gets there first and sewer gets there eventually. This just gives the process specifics for that, and staff does recommend it. Again, it keeps us, we're protected from adding capacity. That little lift station that's out there can still add some more capacity. That'll be the maximum they get in that area. And then when they do sell it, or de-annex, they would purchase the meters and things like that we have out there. But, that's the main thing, is there's no increase in capacity. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I don't know as much about the annexation. I know there's talk, not intimately involved in there, but what they wanted from us was the, you know, some type of proposal that we could still serve that property, and we will. Well, they'll never be without water or sewer.
So does this dissolve if the annexation doesn't go through?
I'll make a motion to pass resolution number 24-09, authorizing an agreement for temporary provision of utility services pertaining to a proposed boundary adjustment between the City of Rogers and the City of Cave Springs and for other purposes.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve resolution 24-09. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. The ayes carry 5-0.
Our next item on the agenda is a recommendation from the Depository and Investment Committee to formally update our list of banks and banking institutions. We use this list to notify banks of our opportunities for CDARS placements that come up periodically throughout the year. And it's not an open invitation for bid, it's just this particular set of banks that are notified of the opportunity. It's a pre-approved, pre-selected list, and we try to revisit this once a year. And so the Depository and Investment Committee, again, has reviewed it, staff reviewed it, our attorneys reviewed it. We did not require our existing banks to re-up, basically. They were already on the list, so we kept them there, but we did proactively reach out to a number of other institutions in the area, and we got four responses back. I'll just read these for the record. Our existing institutions are Arvest Bank, Bank OZK, First National Bank of Fort Smith, First Western Bank, Regions Bank, and Simmons Bank. And the new submissions, the requests to be added to this list include Cadence Bank, Centennial Bank, Chambers Bank, and BOK Financial. And just looking at the information they submitted, there was a pretty wide range of documentation that was submitted or not. Some banks chose to submit a whole lot of supporting documentation, and others just gave us attestations that they do meet the specifications that we listed in our IFB. Just briefly, those specs do include these few. The bank must be in a safe and sound financial condition. The bank must be an institution eligible to receive public funds included on the annual list maintained by the Arkansas State Bank Commissioner. The bank must be FDIC insured, and the bank must be a registered member of that CDARS service that we use to place our investments. So staff's reviewed this, the committee's reviewed this, and it is our recommendation to update our list with these four new additions.
Yes. I'd also note that this designation is also a more general designation of depositories that we go through here also. Not just for the CD list, but also these are the official depositories.
Okay, good enough. Any questions?
I would make a motion to approve.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Carry 5-0 again, yeah, member. Thank you.
Thank you, Jared.
Cadence Bank, I hadn't heard of Cadence Bank.
Actually, name change.
Oh, it is.
You were an office, right?
That's right.
There we go. All right, so this first one is for an addition to our band's sewer job. Originally, there was a development going on this lot that has changed owners, and they're redesigning a little bit. Our sewer going through there is not the problem, but the timing is. So we've worked out that the developer will give us the easement, and we've kind of coordinated with them on the design of what this sewer needs to be, but we're trying to change order this sewer so that our contractor can go ahead and put in what we require to finish up the west side, or the east side of the band's job. NEC is the contractor on there. So there is just shy of 500 feet there to get across that lot. And the additional funds there is $109,930 to do that extra work. So we're requesting to change the price for this job so that we can get that additional work done.
So does the builder put any of the bill for part of this?
I don't believe they are. Originally, we had it worked out because they did not need to go all the way across their lot. We were going to pay for a little bit of sewer extension for their job originally. But I'm not aware of any agreements with the builder to pay for the rest of this.
We waited quite some time, and we let us, Aaron said, we just run out of time. The rest of the job's going, we have to get it.
Yes, we are. They're not currently working on this site anymore. They finished up all the sewer on the west side. Kind of the divide line is this 24-inch water main. So everything on the west side has been completed, except for there's actually a sewer line that comes right down here adjacent to the water line, and we're trying to remove that so that it flows this way and is not adjacent to some houses and our 24-inch main.
I'd make a motion to approve the change order for NEC in the amount of $109,930.
Second.
Motion and second to approve the change order for NEC Construction. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay.
That applies to the band. I didn't say the band's project. I guess that's how it's referred to, band's sewer replacement.
Next one, and so this is for removal. We had bids, and I apologize, I got Brian the wrong PDF. We actually had two bids on that one, but the low bidder was on the one that came in the package. So this is for removal of a blockage in our sewer line that is underneath I-49 here. You can see it serves quite a large area of the city. So there's quite a bit of sewer flowing through there. We can't get our camera to see what the actual blockage is. Obviously, sewer is still flowing through there, but we would like to take care of this blockage, and we were not comfortable getting our equipment underneath I-49 because if it gets stuck, we don't want that responsibility. So we have bid this one out. Humbard was the low bidder. We also had Mayer, and they came in at $523,100. So Humbard was the low bidder on this project.
You're telling us it's not Hot Wheels.
Yeah, it's we do have, I will point out here, so this total doesn't include these lower numbers here. We wanted to only come to the commission once. So the total price here is for replacing the sewer main underneath I-49, and that is not what we want. But if there's damage to the pipe, since we cannot get a camera all the way through it, we want to cover our bases on the front end. So if the pipe is damaged and it cannot be lined, then we already have a plan to replace that pipe with some PVC to go through the encasement. But our goal is to be able to clear the blockage and then line the 24 with a liner.
So you've got the worst case scenario with a contingency built in?
Yes, sir. We have kind of a schedule A and schedule B set up. Yeah.
So if it's, I mean, we, since we can't see what's there, what happens if we have to go? We have to go over I-49.
There's a bridge there, so it'd be a temporary.
Okay.
Right.
So we do get that.
Okay.
That's pumping in the bid here.
So this would be the worst case if that were. If, okay.
It is odd. We've not seen this before. Have you ever seen it?
How long?
It's slowing, but it's not restricting flow, but it's.
They jetted it with what?
Yeah, they said, what, like 10,000 PSI? Yeah, they tried PSI to give you...
It's almost like...
It's going to be something weird like a ladder or something.
No, it's like
going to be something
like
weird.
It's like the liner fell off of the pipe.
Yeah.
And just wadded up down there in the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And it's been catching stuff.
I would like to know what it is whenever y'all do find out.
We want to know what it is.
I've seen some weird stuff at the city of Bentonville. I've seen lawn chairs. I've seen some...
Launch.
So the camera
is the pipe on, you know, before underneath the highway and after looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But once you get to that section underneath the highway, it looks
bad. Of course, it's that section. Okay.
Sounds like there's some urgency, so I'd make a motion to approve the Dunbar contracting amount of $426,500 for cleaning and blockage removal for a sewer main at I-49.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the Humboldt contract for $426,500. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The ayes carry 5-0. How quickly will they use
this?
It's close to uptown, I believe.
Well, they'll have to do it. They'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
It would be.
Hey, Aaron, pull that back down so we can see the.
The map.
Map.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
There's the greens.
This
is
good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Just for reference, we were talking about the Blossom Way and the gentleman that came up here before. This is the 24 that is going to be doubled. To help with some of his sewer ailments.
So, I'm ignorant.
What was it, 3-4?
3-4 years was what he said.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Johnny, how do they go about unclogging
so
that thing?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, where are we at? We're on, I know we got the map. Benton County. Which item are
we? That was item number 5.
Right, I'm on 5. Are we on 6 now, or
was there any other questions?
Oh, I was just wondering what, you know, how do they unclog this? It's like it's a lot of money to.
Chain trail, and it's a spinner that has cutters legs on it. And they'll go in and try to chop it out.
Does that have a camera on it as well so you can see what the heck it is?
It'll be downstream with the back pond and the screen.
You can catch the Wagner ladder. That's what I'm calling right now on the record.
We can't pull our boat through there. We can't crawl through there. So.
Okay.
If we just slowly start going up.
This is a gerbil.
It's weird.
We're proactive.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Surcharging would, well, there you go there.
All right. Our last item for today is for authorizing funds. There is currently the Benton, Washington Regional Water Authority. They've got their transmission main that's coming through. So this is one of our redundant in case of emergency connections that we'd like to do. And we, since they're going through there now and constructing it, we'd like to go ahead and get that T put in. So we need a little bit of money to pay them to get that installed for us. So it looks like the amount there is $45,000.
I'll make a motion to approve the authorization of funds for reimbursement to Benton, Washington Regional Water Authority in the amount of $45,000 This reimbursement is for the inclusion of a 54-inch by 18-inch T and 18-inch plugged valve to a water transmission main project currently under construction.
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed nay. Ayes carry.
One last question. So obviously we've approved some money that wasn't in the budget, and so I just, so where does that, for if we end up spending 4.6, do we take that out of reserves? Is that, I assume that if that's been,
it's not out of reserves, it'll just be out of
it'll just be out of our
account. Okay. Okay. That 4.26 is actually still money that we have left over that out of our 3.5 that we didn't spend.
I typically ask that question, how are you going to pay for it? I'm trying to get it. I know that he's getting, I can see he's more comfortable with these numbers every meeting, but how are we going to pay for it?
The banker's question. All right.
There's no option on that one, so better find me.
All right, with that, do we have any other questions? If not, we'll call the meeting to an end.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.